He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the post-eclipse edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner, will be joining us in a bit. We've got a split decision on the market right now. The Dow is down 66 to 38,827. I think it's Intel mostly to blame. Intel has a very weak chart right now, not looking good at all. The NASDAQ is up 56, on the other hand, to 16,310. I'm going to thank Google, or Alphabet there. There's news on it, which we'll get to here in a bit. The S&P is up 3 points, kind of dull. We got a couple of big reports coming up tomorrow, PPI, or CPI, Thursday, PPI, and then several big earnings reports on Friday. So the market kind of just waiting, hold mode right now. Crude oil is down 16 cents to 86.27. Gold up another 21.90 to 23.72. My understanding is it's the Chinese central bank that's been buying gold. Silver's up 48 cents. The 10-year, that's helping the market today. It's down 5 basis points to 4.38. Bitcoin down 1,700 to 70,046. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry will be joining us in a bit. It was a sleepy market yesterday. There was very little happening. I think everybody was waiting to watch the eclipse. I don't know what it was like in your neck of the woods. You know, we got about 70-80% coverage here. I noticed that the temperature dropped about 10 degrees, went from 73 down to 63 and then back to 73. So, you know, the sun is a pretty important thing. I also noticed that my solar panels were only receiving about 20% of what they normally receive, which obvious is pretty obvious there. And I know in the areas where there was a total eclipse in Texas, they saw their capacity drop tremendously during the eclipse. I think a lot of people were watching it yesterday, dull market. And as I said, there's a couple, there's some big news things coming up tomorrow. That's when the real excitement begins, when we get the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And we're looking for a very benign report. That's what the market would like to see. And they'd like to hear the Fed's maybe comment on, wow, inflation's really disappearing. Maybe we can do a rate cut after all sooner rather than later. I don't really expect that, though. I still think we're going to get a rate cut late in the year, September, maybe October, somewhere in there. That's just my opinion in listening to these folks on a daily basis opine from various locations around the country. So we had a very, very dull market in the market yesterday. And today, you know, even though the indexes are up a little bit, I'm not seeing that much here that's really, there's not a lot of commitments being made in the market. Let's put it that way, one way or the other right now, until we get a little more data. Because as we know, the Fed is data dependent. Okay, let's take a look at the news in the market here. What's driving it today? What is hurting it today? We have taken a little bit of a turn south since we began the show, and it's just trading in a very narrow range right now. Okay, let's take a look here. Now, I read an article today. It was pretty interesting. On, let's see, who was it? They were saying that some of this inflation is coming from interest rates. And I think that's probably a pretty good argument. You know, that's not something that is measured into inflation, but it would show up. Companies that have a lot of debt paying a higher interest rate, they're passing that on to the consumer. And that's one reason maybe why we continue to see stubborn inflation. And I thought that was a pretty good argument there. Yields continue to move higher. We moved up to 4.42%. So definitely, and it does, you know, look, if you're paying higher rates on your home, you have less to spend out there in the economy. It's being up by being eaten up by interest rates that you're paying. So it definitely does have a big impact on the economy and maybe inflation a little bit. Small business optimism. Okay, I'm a small business. How about all you small business owners out there? I'd like to hear from you. You can send me an email at bill@gundersoncapital.com. How is your optimism right now about the future of the economy? Small business optimism hits 11-year low as stock bulls keep running. Well, I think there's a lot of concern right now. Number one, I think there's a lot of concern about the state of the nation, the debt that the country has. I think there's worry about a slowdown, an eventual slowdown in the economy, which is inevitable. It may be slowing down, but there's no signs of a recession out there on the horizon. And I would say that the interest rates, small businesses, you know, they're hurt the most by high interest rates. And I would say that that's also a problem, hurting the optimism of the small businesses. Okay, Kash Kari, he spoke again last night. I call him Crash Kari. He spoke at the University of Montana. Now, nothing against the University of Montana, but it seems like Kash Kari gets the smaller gigs than, you know, like the big venues. He said last night basically what he said on Friday. The market reacted, or on Thursday, the market reacted in a very negative way on Thursday about 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time last Thursday when we went from a positive market to minus 530 points. Okay, was it all Kash Kari saying that he could see a scenario where there's no interest rate cuts this year? That seemed to be the timing of the big reversal in the market. But I think there was also some fear out there, maybe some intel, I don't know, of a possible strike by Iran, which also seemed to be in the cards. That was the day that Israel closed all of their embassies around the world. But anyways, Kash Kari spoke again last night at 7 p.m., and obviously it's not having much of an effect on the market like it did last Thursday. He says that the central bank can't stop short on the inflation fight. Speaking at the University of Montana, Kash Kari noted that while the labor market is still not as red hot as it was a year ago, it's still tight. That's what we've been saying. I mean, that seems to be the stickiest part of the inflation equation right now. Now, you have had oil prices going up here recently quite a bit. Up to $86 per barrel. Gasoline, you know, in our neck of the woods, it's ranging between about $3.19 to $3.29, somewhere in there. But that jobs market does remain very, very tight. I still see a lot of signs as I drive around the state of South Carolina, help wanted. So that's also keeping that inflation. And he did reiterate his comments that if inflation lingers, that's why everybody's watching the CPI and PPI report tomorrow and Thursday to see if inflation is lingering. He says there could be no rate cuts in 2024. He's always one to throw water on the economy and a bit of a pessimist, I suppose. Wells Fargo ups its year-end S&P 500 target price to 5,535. And we're currently trading at, what, 5,240, somewhere around in there? So they think there's another 300 points, which isn't very much, really, when you consider where we're at right now. I would just say that that's about the consensus right now. You know, when we started the year, it was around 5,300, and I've seen it slowly move up to 5,600, 5,500, around in there by the end of the year. Well, that's another reason the market's on hold, because it depends on earnings. And guess what starts on Friday? J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup, etc., kicking off earnings season. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I think we got Barry. Do we have Barry with us?
Yeah, I'm
there.
Here.
He is.
How
okay,
are
Barry.
You?
Listen to this math here. This is very interesting. I read into this story a little bit more, and I found the math. There's definitely a lesson here on who is it? Wells Fargo upping their year-end target to 5535.
This number is the person who essentially is. I think at least for Bloomberg or most analysts out there, I think what is now the highest, right, year-end price target for the S&P.
Okay, number one, they're using a multiple of 20.5, okay? Well, okay, we heard recently a very much a permeable Jeremy Siegel. He was using 20. The long-term average is 16, okay? So I'm not quite sure how you justify. We're not in a low-interest rate environment anymore. So I'm just going to say that 20.5 is optimistic, okay? I'm more in the 19 range. Now, okay, here's what I think is instructive. Next year's earnings estimates, this is 2025's earnings estimates, right? That's kind of pie in the sky right now, but still, that's what the market trades on. And next year's earnings estimates are 270. This year's earnings estimates are somewhere in the neighborhood of 250. They're using next year's 2025 estimates to come up with their year-end target price for this year. But that is instructive, because that's how it pretty much works. Now that the first quarter of 2024 is in the books, Or the last quarter of last year, I guess, and now we have a pretty good feel for the first quarter of this year, the market is pricing in next year's potential earnings. That's how the market works. The market looks way ahead. It's not looking at this quarter. That's been priced in. It's not looking at this year's earnings estimates at 250, because, look, if you did that, 250 times 20, you'd have a 5,000 target price, and we're at 5,250 right now. It's pricing in next year's earnings estimates, and you'll see that when I publish my target price every week in the newsletter, that I also, my 12-month target price is a multiple times next year's estimates. Now that we've got one quarter behind us. So that's how everything moves. Everything works in the stock market. It looks ahead. So Wells Fargo, that if they're right, of course, I mean, there's a lot of variables there.
And that's 8% earnings growth, right? From now till then, which is, you know, certainly would be a really soft landing,
yeah.
Right? Put it that way, from an economic perspective. But you know, it'll be interesting to see, certainly see how it plays out. But that's what, you know, going from 250 to 270, right? It's an 8% Earnings growth and what? I mean, if we, I think, but over the last couple of years, right? I mean, earnings growth, you know better than I do, has what been maybe four or
yeah.
five, right? It's been, well, it's been fairly muted, right, in terms
yep.
of the overall market.
The consensus for next year is actually 275. So they're a little low,
okay.
but, you know, I mean, that's what the market trades on. How many times have I said, yes, the market follows earnings, but even more importantly, it follows forward earnings expectations. There's the key, and there's no better indicator for the S&P 500. You can look at them all. You can look at every technical indicator and whatnot. For me, the best indicator is those future earnings estimates. Okay, the global oil markets, Citadel says, this is Ken Griffin, who's a pretty smart guy. He says they will remain, global oil markets will remain extremely tight in the year's second half of the in the second half of the year, you know, they're basically kind of weighing in a big war in Israel, which I think, you know, Netanyahu said, we have a date circled on the calendar. We're going in, and we're going to take out Hamas, and then they're going to probably deal with Hezbollah up in Lebanon. So anyways, OPEC keeps their supply low. So there's a lot of bulls out there on oil going forward. Oil has taken a little bit of a pause, and I'll tell you what, if you don't think oil prices aren't linked to the Middle East, well, Israel withdrew their troops from Gaza over the weekend. But they're just and everybody thought, well, okay, so oil stalled out here for a couple of days. And everybody thought, well, maybe Israel's going to leave that last. No, I don't think so. I think they're going to finish what they consider to be getting rid of Hamas in their country. So I think you're going to see oil prices start moving up again.
And they have to shuffle the deck anyway in terms of
yes.
where they want to go.
They've
got to shuffle where folks who've been displaced are, right? So
yeah.
doing so, you've got to pull out of one place
yep.
to fill in that spot.
And it is a big story. I mean, it is worth keeping an eye on what is going on there because it's the biggest story or biggest geopolitical story in the world. Along with the upcoming U.S. election, gold hits another record high.
What about the recent? Talking about gold and one of the many reasons that it's been going up. Saw the story. I thought you might hit on the first part of the show was bombs hitting the nuclear reactors in Ukraine.
Ukraine.
You know, Could happen at any point in time, right? I mean,
well,
even a stray missile or what have you could.
We could have a massive, massive global event due to an accident of some
right.
sort. I saw today too that a Russian ship was on fire, and I want to say it was a nuclear powered ship. So there's a precedence for massive accidents. That can affect the entire world, okay, with radiation or whatever. Okay, gold hits another new high. China's central bank adds for the 17th month in a row. What is China up to? We don't know. Yellen is calling on China to shift their policy. We're not going to accept a flood of their cheap imports again. And I think she's mostly wagging her finger at the solar panels, number one. And number two, I think it's going to be very difficult. I don't think the Biden administration, Trump was warning about the imports of the Chinese EV cars. It seems to me like the Biden administration wouldn't allow that either. So anyways, who's it hurting the most right now in China? Wedbush has been a total bull on Apple ever since I can remember. And they've been right for the most part. They are finally pretty negative. Apple's China problems are a black cloud and the worst in 5 years, says Wedbush. They have a $250 target price on Apple. Apple is one of the worst charts in the market. $250 is pretty optimistic. The stock's at $169 now. But when Wedbush starts to give in and say, you know, they do have a big China problem, that's like the first negative comments I've seen for a long time out of Wedbush on Apple,
right.
which has been their darling stock. Okay, We got a lot to talk about when we come back in the second half of the show, especially regarding Google and NVIDIA. What's going on? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, as I watched the eclipse, I just thought, really, we're pretty helpless here. We can't control a lot of things in this world. I think there's a greater power that controls those things, no matter how fast our chips are or how good our technology is. There's nothing we can do. And, you know, I studied one time. There was a volcano eruption in Iceland 200 years ago that affected the entire world for 2 to 4 years. The Mississippi River froze at New Orleans, and the crops, we couldn't grow crops, and all over Europe they didn't have, because of the haze. The haze covered the entire world. So if you get a chance, people ought to realize that, hey, there's more than just nuclear bombs that can disrupt things. This was a volcano in Iceland that erupted for 8 months and was a big part of the French Revolution because of the famine and the poverty and the hunger and deaths and sickness that it caused. So anyways.
Well, and even more fragile than that, right now we got satellites and everything else that are affected by solar flares and other, you know, things that are occurring beyond just, just Earth.
We are very vulnerable on this planet. Okay. Well, you know who else is vulnerable? NVIDIA. NVIDIA is vulnerable to competition. That's what NVIDIA is vulnerable.
That's right. Yeah.
AMD has been very quiet. Not saying much recently, but today Google unveiled an in-house Axion chips to cut AI cost and reliance on NVIDIA. How about this? Okay. And I have been noticing recently, well, NVIDIA's stock has gone sideways. It's breaking down today, believe it or not, for the first time. NVIDIA was in an uptrend until mid-March, okay, and I made a big deal out of that reversal day, which actually happened early March. It happened about a month ago. It was on a Friday. NVIDIA hit a new high. It almost got to 1,000, and boom, it had a big reversal. Reversal days are very important in technical analysis. It's like going from forward to reverse. That uptrend, and then the uptrend resumed a little bit, but you know, it's kind of hard once you have those reversal days to get that momentum going again, is the best way to describe it. Now you've got a reversal of an uptrend into a downtrend. It's been going sideways, and today it's breaking down below its recent support level. Now, it 50-day moving average is at 805, okay? We'll see if it holds that 50-day moving average, 810, 800, somewhere in there. It's at 835 right now, but it is really selling off hard right now. It's down 3.6%. This is probably the biggest news of the day, really, because I've been saying as the NASDAQ, as NVIDIA goes, so goes the NASDAQ. NVIDIA has been subject to, vulnerable to, a pretty sizable correction when you consider that it's up 400% over the recent months. Now, the long term of NVIDIA still looks good, but, you know, I've been warning that the market was getting way ahead of itself, and especially when you looked at the NASDAQ and market leaders like NVIDIA. Now, on the other hand, Google's chart has been looking very good. ever since I sold it, Barry. That's usually what happens, you know. I just got disappointed.
Yeah, and you had a good, good reasoning behind, you know, behind, you know, we took a gain, so you know, it wasn't all.
Now
a
it's
bad
hitting
story,
new highs, on new all-time highs. So they did turn things around, which good companies are prone to do. Their Gemini AI, I thought, was kind of a disaster. It really cast a cloud and was a black eye for them on how badly their AI performed. But now that they're going to reduce the cost of AI, obviously, if you're producing your own chips. Now, I don't know if they're as good as NVIDIA's chips, but I'm sure Google's a pretty big customer of NVIDIA, and NVIDIA is breaking out today. It's up 1.1%. It's one of the few stocks that's really up on the NASDAQ.
Well, and it puts you in charge of your own supply chain, right? I mean, that's the important thing there, right? And Apple's done this or talked about doing this, right, in terms of, you know, building its own chips, or designing, in reality, I guess, designing their own chips, right?
Yes.
And have been successful in certain parts and still are reliant, you know, even to this day, on chips of other companies. They haven't completely gotten it gotten away from it. So
no,
it's a it's a broadening out of the supply chain, and it's still a different story than on the search side of Google, which is what they're, you know, what people are really, you know, under, you know, what the piece of their business that's under attack, right? AI standpoint,
they
have to execute right on that side of it.
The other stock that's been performing well recently, along with Google, and it is a major player in AI, is Amazon's been hitting new all-time highs here. Recently, it's been performing well. But, you know, there's a lesson here. Stocks have to pause. They can't keep going up like a rocket ship like NVIDIA has. Yes, the long term still looks good for NVIDIA. I mean, their earnings were just, they've had three quarters in a row that are the best three quarters in a row I've ever seen since I've been in the business. But stocks get ahead of themselves. They don't go up forever. They pull back. Right now, you're probably weeding out a lot of the hot money that was crowded into that NVIDIA trade. I don't really think that Google's in-house Axion chips are that big of a deal on NVIDIA. But the stock is reacting in a pretty negative way to the news today. It's down almost 4% now. Tesla settles suit over Apple's engineer's death in autopilot crash. You know, it's funny. Tesla claimed that the Apple engineer was playing video games on his Tesla, right?
And I think if, I mean, I don't know the story exactly, but I don't think that's in dispute. You know, the fact is that, you know, I think they were playing, you know, playing a video game, but also relying on
they probably
feature,
told him,
so,
go ahead, play video games. We're that confident.
Right.
He ran off the road. And
yeah.
Died. No, okay, so now, here, we talked about small business optimism in the first quarter
and they,
of the show. Which
but
is
they
dropped.
Settled it, right? They settled it right before. I think it was about to go to trial, like the day before, and it got settled.
I'm sure he got a nice paycheck for playing video games. But, he lost his life. Okay, optimism, economy. Norwegian Cruise Lines places its largest order, 8 new ships. Imagine the jobs. Imagine the people. Imagine
where are these
all
things
the
getting
crafts.
Built at? And how
I
long
was
does
wondering
it take?
That myself, but I think Holland, I think in that area, Italy is a builder of these cruise ships, but 8 new cruise ships. You know, if we have another COVID or something, they got into a lot of trouble there, the cruise lines, when they were sitting in the port. And, you know, you got to take on debt to build these ships.
Oh, you remember we were talking about how much, remember when they were floating some of that debt and we were, you know, looking at a debt.
It was 10%.
10% for, you know, 3 years or what have you. And it was, you know, it certainly was touch and go for them. So, I mean, you know, I guess that's, you know, good news, you know, I guess overall for, I guess the world economy and just, you know, openness of the economy in the world, I guess. But
that's
certainly
money.
Seems like a lot of ships. A
lot of ships.
It's got to be a lot of debt behind that. I mean, how much debt do you roll up to? You know, to because you know you're financing that whole project over a period of time, and it's pretty interesting.
Well,
how that
they figure they'll get a bigger return, obviously, than the interest and the debt they got to incur. Okay, last but not least, this story caught my eye because I remember when 99-cent only stores. They really were the pioneer in the dollar stores. We had a couple in San Diego. I enjoyed shopping at them. Before I knew it, you know, I'd have a whole basket full of 99-cent only stuff, and it'd add up to a lot more than 99 cents. You say, oh, well, it's only 99 cents. You know, you'd get all kinds of stuff that you really didn't need. But they filed for bankruptcy. So I think this dollar store thing has kind of run its trend. It was a great area. I made a lot of money in Dollar Tree back in, I want to say 08, 09, when people were forced to shop at Dollar Tree. But that whole industry is under pressure now. And to see 99-cent only store declare bankruptcy, they were the pioneers in all of this. And that's quite a blow. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look underneath the surface of the market. NVIDIA, Intel, there's a lot of stories taking place here. Google, Apple, we'll see what's moving and what's hurting the market today.
You got to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has definitely taken a turn for the worst. I'm not sure if there's some news. I'll be looking for that right after the show here. The NVIDIA news is definitely shaking up the market somewhat. The Dow's down 290 right now. Something really changed here, Barry, in the last 20 minutes or so. The NASDAQ's down 87. The S&P is down 37, and Bitcoin now is down 2,500 to 68,860. So I think there's probably some news out there, probably on interest rates. That's usually what drives the market these days.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything specifically.
No, or geopolitics out there.
I mean, and even the interest rates are actually down 5 basis points. That's where I went to first.
That can also be a flight to safety, though. You know, buying bonds, parking money in the bond market, and driving interest.
How does that S&P target price rate feel when first day it comes out?
A little shaky.
It goes down.
The Wells Fargo guy's got to be squirming in his chair a little bit. Okay, well, all right.
He's still got a handful of months left.
Yeah, he's got 5 months to hit, 6 months. Okay, here's what's moving the markets here so far. I'm seeing a lot of down all of a sudden in the Dow. American Express down 2.5%, Travelers down 2.4%, J.P. Morgan down 1.8%, Caterpillar down 1.8%, Visa, this is more than NVIDIA news, obviously, Visa down 1.6%, Intel down 1.4%. On the upside, the only one are two of the worst stocks in the Dow, Pfizer and Cisco. Terrible charts. Pfizer's got a new RSV vaccine. Pfizer's been a terrible stock. It's up 2%. Cisco's up 1.4%. The Dow has definitely taken a turn for the worst here during the show. Okay, now let's take a look at the S&P 500, which gives us a little bit wider look here. It's a lot of vacation stocks all of a sudden, so I'm thinking there's something out there geopolitical. Royal Caribbean's down 5.8%. Maybe they'll pull back. It's Norwegian, 8 new ships. Better think about that. Maybe cut it into 4. Decker's down 4%.
Not riding through the Suez.
Nope. NVIDIA down 4%. Supermicro, so AI's taking it on the chin, down 4%. Arista down 3.2%. What's up on the S&P 500? Well, the inverse funds will be doing well. And you know what? Look, we continue to hold about four or five inverse funds. So all I can say is while the market's been going sideways at the top, these inverse funds have been going sideways on the bottom, which means they've been building a very solid foundation to launch from. And some of them are looking quite good right now. Okay, on the upside, I don't see much that really catches my eye there on the upside. Moderna up 7.8%. There must be some kind of news on Moderna. That's about it. Tesla's having a good day. Maybe it's because they solved this issue with Apple. I'm not seeing much else there that really catches my eye. So let's go to the NASDAQ, which kind of started this whole mess.
Still kind of a sleepy market before the CPI tomorrow.
The CPI was leaked and it's hotter than expected.
Yeah, and I was looking through the news and I was scanning financial news and non-financial news and nothing's coming across.
Check the Drudge report. Sometimes I go to Drudge, sometimes I go to Citizens Free Press. Eventually you'll find it in the Jerusalem Post, Al Jazeera. I go all over the world to try to figure out what's going on. I would just say I'm guessing it's probably something around Israel. NVIDIA's down 4% today. Meta, which has been on fire recently, is down 2.2%. There's another vacation stock, Booking.com, down 2%. Broadcom down 1.8%. What's up on the NASDAQ? Anything here on the NASDAQ? Let's see here. Chinese stocks. Well, that's another thing. You know, she laid the law down. Janet Yellen really laid the law down with China. So there may be some harsh words coming from China about, look, it's tariff talk, I would say. She left no doubt about it. We're not going to allow you to flood the markets. And I think solar panels would be the first one that would come under fire. And China is one to retaliate. They don't take things lightly. Well, and they said, Apple and Tesla and all these companies that sell stuff to us will retaliate. So that could be it also. But I will be researching this as soon as we're done here. Okay.
Yeah, and that's, the interesting thing there is, the Democratic side, right, of the aisle has, made an investment right into, whether it's through subsidies or what have you, to, quote unquote, green kind of economy. And, they're going to have to, I guess, protect their investment,
But using our solar panels is a lot more expensive, right? Our solar industry is crying the singing the blues.
And that's happened before. That's the interesting thing is I figured this would be worked out by now because they did the same, thing happened in the early 2010 era and really destroyed kind of the solar stocks.
And don't forget Musk saying that, China could crush our auto industry, with the firepower that they have. There was also one other thing. What was it that Elon Musk has proof? Oh, it was the Brazil elections. He supposedly has proof that they were rigged, the Brazil elections, when Bolsonaro got defeated by Lula. So, look, you got to watch things all over the world these days. It's all connected. I'll be in Sarasota next week, God willing, all day Tuesday, Wednesday. And I'm going to do the appointments alone on Thursday because Barry's got to catch a flight. So you can meet with Barry and I Tuesday and Wednesday. If you want to meet with me, mano-a-mano, I guess, on Thursday, I'll be handling the appointments. There's a few left, I think, on Thursday especially. We added an extra day. Give Edie a call to secure a spot at 855-611-BEST to meet with us in person, 855-611-BEST. If you get a little nervous about the markets, set up an appointment with us via telephone or Zoom, 855-611-BEST, to see what my 12-month target price is and what we've been buying and selling recently. Get 2 weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Download the app. Watch these valuations very closely right now. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.